I invite you to turn, please, over to the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. Would like to read verse 51 down through verse 59. John 8, 51. Jesus speaking says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Verse 58 is my text today, where Jesus responding to them said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." At one point during Jesus' earthly ministry, he posed the question to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they responded, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He then asked, "But whom say ye that I am?" The Bible records the answer. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now this begs the question, who is Jesus? That is, where did he come from? Is he just the product of an affair between Mary and a Roman soldier? Is he the natural effect of procreation between a man and a woman? Or is he more than a mere mortal? Is he the Son of God just as he said? And this, my friend, is the question you must answer. There is an account over in Mark chapter 11 in verse 27 through verse 33 where the religious leaders inquired of Jesus as to where he received his authority to do the things that he did. Jesus in turn asked them concerning John the Baptist. Was he a man divinely sent from God? And thus his baptism was from heaven? Or did the baptism originate in some man's mind? And the text reads like this. "And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering said unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things." Now in verse 31 of that passage, they reasoned this. If we admit the baptism was from heaven, he will ask us why we did not believe John. That's their reasoning. They knew that divine origin requires human response. And so it is with this question about Jesus. Is he a man, or did he come from heaven? I want to talk to you today about the pre-existence of Jesus. And that is the title of my message, The Pre-Existence of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house and these who are able to be here today. And we pray for those who could not be with us due to sickness or providential hindrance, that you would heal the sick and comfort those that have any other problems and issues. And those that are traveling, keep them safe. And God, for those of us who are here, we desire to worship you and honor you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that our prayers have been heard at your throne today, and the songs of praise have been honoring to you. And now we ask that this portion of our service, as we look into your word, would also be to your honor and for your glory. And God, we ask that you would direct our hearts and lives by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, just speak to our hearts. And we ask, if there's any here today that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, that they might be saved. May we who are saved be strengthened and encouraged in Christ. Lord, we ask, as we study these things today, help us to have a perfect understanding and a knowledge of the Scriptures, as we know that Jesus Christ came from heaven. And so teach us as only you can. We love you, we honor you, we praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about the preexistence of Christ, and it is my objective to demonstrate that Jesus is more than just a man. I believe that he is the Son of God. Yes, God himself. God incarnate. And I believe that Jesus is of divine origin. I believe he came down from heaven. And if that be so, why don't you believe him? That's the question, isn't it? Why don't you believe him if he really did come from heaven? So as we think about this matter of the preexistence of Christ, I want to begin by looking back into an Old Testament scripture back in Exodus chapter 3. So I invite you to turn back there, Exodus chapter 3. And I just want to momentarily consider the I am statement. Here in Exodus chapter 3, it's when Moses had gone up into the mountain and confronted God there at the burning bush, and God was speaking to him and all the things of what God is intending to for Moses to do. But there's a statement that we want to bring out that God makes in Exodus chapter 3, and it's in verse 14. And this is the I am statement. Verse 14, Exodus 3. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. This statement is a declaration of the self-existence of God. Moses said, well, if I go back to the children of Israel, who do I say is going to, who sent me? He says, you tell them that I am that I am. Tell them the I am hath sent you. I am. It's in the present. That's the way it is. It's always been that way. I am. We saw in our Sunday school class not too long ago the self-existence of God. God has existed forever. I mean, there's no beginning and no ending. God has a self-existence. And God speaks to Moses here and he says, I am. Now, over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I do believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, that Jesus is the Son of God. That means that if God has always existed and Jesus has never changed, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that, you know what, he had to exist prior to his birth into this world by Mary. And so I talk about the self-existence of God, this I am statement. And so you'll find as you study the scriptures, in the Old Testament scriptures, there's appearances by God. Now, there are two terms that theologians will apply to this. They either will use the term a theophany or a Christophany. And a theophany is an appearance of God, and a Christophany is an appearance of Christ. And it depends who you read and the commentator of whether they believe it was a Christophany or a theophany. For me, it really makes no difference. Generally, I see them as Christophanies, or God in the flesh is the image of Jesus Christ as he came. And so, just a few examples, you remember when Abraham was confronted with the three angels and they were headed down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were going to check it out to see whether or not the sin was so great God was going to destroy those cities. And those three angels came to Abraham. Abraham fixed them a meal, and then two of the angels left to go to Sodom and Gomorrah to see what was going on down there and to bring destruction upon the city because of their sin. And the scripture says in the book of Genesis that Abraham stood yet with the Lord. Yet with the Lord. Yet in the passage it talks about three angels. One of those angels was the Lord. Personally, I believe that was Jesus Christ, who came in the appearance of a man, came to Abraham. Because we read in our passage, you remember, that Abraham longed to see the day of Christ, and he rejoiced, and he was glad because he saw it. And they stood there yet with the Lord. And I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking with Abraham. Now, other people will say, no, that was God coming. Well, theophany, Christophany, makes no difference. God appeared, and Jesus does appear. When Jacob came back from Paddan Aram, he came back from the area up there, from Haran, and left Laban and his in-laws and all that, and came into the land of Canaan on his way. Remember that he met up with the soldier of the Lord, the king of the Lord's army there, and met with him, wrestled with that angel till the break of day. Or other visions throughout the Old Testament. The existence of Christ, did he come before? Yes, because I believe he's alive, and we have descriptions of God coming, and I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 41. It's just a matter of Jesus Christ being God, coming to take a human body. I submit unto you that he existed prior to his birth at Bethlehem. Why? Because he is God. And I just wanted to point out the Exodus account of the pre-existence of God, because he says, I am. I am that I am. I've asked you to turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Look at verse 4, just as a reference in regard to the Lord, what God says here. Who hath called and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first with the last, I am he. Who knows from the beginning, from the end? It's God. He's the first. He's the last. Go over to Isaiah 43. Look at verse 10. Isaiah 43, verse 10. God speaking says, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Notice, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. There is no other God. He says, I am he. He. Look down in verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he. Before there was any creation, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Simply stated, if Jesus Christ is God who he says he was, he had to exist prior to the birth at Bethlehem by coming forth from Mary. He had to exist. Evidence is as we just presented it unto you. But I want to give you some other scriptural confirmation. And first of all, and I want to just list these things. I want to invite you to turn to John 1. My first verse I'm going to look at is actually Genesis 1:1. But I figured you would know what that verse means, because it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So we have the creation stated that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, John chapter 1, verse 1. As I think about the fact that Jesus Christ has a pre-existence, it's demonstrated in that he is the creator of the universe. We saw the reference in Isaiah 43, before the day was ever made, he says, I am he. Now in John 1, I just said Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Notice, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You know who that was? That was Jesus Christ. By the way, you can look at verse 14 of John chapter 1 and see that this Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is Jesus Christ. Is the creator. You say, how do you know it's talking about the Son and not the Father? Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Now, I believe by context in John 1, it's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. But see what Paul wrote to the church at Colossae in Colossians 1, and look at verse 16. Talking about the firstborn of every creature, it's Jesus Christ. You can look back through the passage. For by him, that's talking about Jesus, Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Do you see that, my friend? Do you know who created this universe? God the Son did, by the work of his Holy Spirit. God created these things. It says all things were created by him. If Jesus Christ is the creator of this universe, he had to exist prior to the birth at Bethlehem. He had a pre-existence. And it says in verse 17 that he is before all things. That word before is a preposition in the Greek that means before, or in front of, or in the advance of. Before anything was, there was God. And of course, that God is a Trinity made up: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ existed and has existed forever, but he certainly existed prior to the birth at Bethlehem. And so the pre-existence of Jesus. Remember our text? The question was, well, you're not even 50 years old. How could Abraham know about you, and so forth? So you get the idea. Is Jesus who he said he was? So I submit unto you, in confirmation of the fact that Jesus is had a pre-existence to the birth, is that he is the creator. But secondly, turn back to the book of Luke chapter 1, and notice verse 31. Luke 1. This is the account of the angel speaking to Mary, who did give birth to Jesus Christ. And notice what he describes about this one whom she should deliver. In Luke 1, verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great," notice, "and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." You notice that it says there in the text in verse 32 that he's called the Son of the Highest. He is the Son of God. Who did Mary deliver that morning nearly 2,000 years ago? She delivered a baby boy who was God manifest in the flesh. Jesus left heaven, came to earth, and became a man. But he existed prior to his birth. He is not like you and me. We are simply products of procreation between a man and a woman. Jesus was God in the flesh. Now, I want you to notice as you turn to the book of John in chapter 6, the third confirmation I want to give to you is Jesus' own witness about his origin. John chapter 6. There are four things I'm going to list to you in groupings, and the fourth will take us back to our chapter in chapter 8. But first of all, in John chapter 6, just notice these things in verse 33. John 6:33, Jesus speaking says, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." See that? Look at verse 38. "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Verse 51. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Do you see some statements there about him coming down from heaven? "I came down, I came down, I came down." In verse 62, same chapter, John chapter 6, in his argument to them, he says in verse 62, "What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" Before what? Before his birth. When he was in heaven, he says, "Now I came down from heaven, and you're going to, what if you could see me ascend back to where I was before?" Do you get the idea that Jesus existed before he was born of Mary? You should. Second grouping is verse chapter 7. Look at verse 25. Chapter 7, book of John, verse 25. "Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he of whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit," notice their expression, "howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, You both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, that I am from him, and he hath sent me." You see that statement there? You might want to keep a finger in John because I'm coming back over there, but turn to a reference in Matthew chapter 13. as they noticed Jesus and the possibility that he may or may not be the Christ, they said, now wait a minute. How can this man have these things and have this ability? We know where he is. We know whence he is. When Christ, the Messiah, really comes, we won't know whence he is. That is, we won't know his origin. Jesus continued with that discussion, and he says, now wait a minute, you do know where I come from. Well, did they? Yes, they did. Now turn to the, if you haven't turned over there, turn to Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, came to his hometown in the area there, he taught them in their synagogue. Here's their response. Insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Why do they reason that? Look at the next verse. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joses, and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these things? Do you see that? Go back to the book of John. Do you understand that? Over in chapter 7, they were questioning, hey, the Messiah, we don't know where he comes from, but we know him. Did they know him? Did they know his mother? Did they know his brothers? Did they half-brothers and know the half-sisters? Yes. That's why Jesus could say, you do know where I'm from, because he was born of Mary. But what they could not pick up, what they did not understand, was that he had had an existence prior to his birth, and that he was actually came down from heaven. That's what they couldn't grasp. Now, they knew that when the Messiah came, he would come from someplace, but it wouldn't be of this world. So they had a real they really stumbled at Jesus, didn't they? But Jesus said, hey, I have come from heaven. And, well, notice the third grouping, John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Did Jesus have a preexistence? I submit unto you, yes. John chapter 16, verse 28. Jesus said, I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Look at chapter 17 in his prayer to his heavenly Father, John 17, verse 8. He says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, notice, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. The disciples were catching on to this. Hey, this guy is something different. He's the Son of God. He came from heaven. Look back to chapter 16, back in verse 30, where we know this is true, that Jesus is making an accurate statement unto his heavenly Father because the apostles declare it. John 16, verse 30. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. You know, they finally picked it up. They finally understood that Jesus had a pre-existence, that he was God, came down in the human form, that he left heaven and had come to earth. Now, if you go back to John chapter 8, the fourth grouping, just a few mentions here, but really it's just the matter of, and you understand that Jesus declared he came from heaven. If he came from heaven, he had to have a pre-existence. And that was certainly happening before his birth. John chapter 8. As we flow up, we're not going to read all the context. We're not going to look at all the verses. But just notice as we step up toward our text, look at verse 23. He said unto them, notice, ye are from beneath, I am from above. What's he talking about? Look at as he finishes. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Does that make sense to you? You know, we have people down through the centuries that claim to be Jesus Christ. And, you know, several come to my mind. But, you know, these people say, oh, I'm God. Well, if they're God, they didn't come from here. You know what? They had to come from up there. They had to come from heaven. Jesus said, I'm from above, you're from beneath. I'm not of this world, but you are of this world. And because Jesus is not of this world, he preexisted his birth, didn't he? And look down into verse 42. John 8, 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So they come down through this discussion. He's talking about Abraham. He's talking about descendancy and what the Israelites, depending upon their own lineage and all that. And then they're talking about Abraham. And so they bring up this issue in our text about Abraham. And Jesus said, now wait a minute. Look back at verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He was glad and saw it. They understood exactly what he's saying, because the very next thing they responded unto him was, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? They knew what he was saying. They understood that. They picked up on it. And his response to them was, our text, verse 58, yea, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Does that make sense? Jesus has a preexistence. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 19. I've given you three of my scriptural confirmations. I want to give you number four. John chapter 19. I've always marveled at this text, this record about the Pilate examining Jesus and the things that went on there. And what we have in the verses I'm going to share with you is John chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 6 down through verse 9. Pilate, this is Pilate's response after hearing that Jesus might be the Son of God. So, John 19, verse 6. And when the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Look, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid. And who wouldn't be? Can you imagine if you were a civil ruler and you're judging this guy and you have his life in your hands, and they, you find out, he said, well, he's the Son of God. Whoa, back up here for a minute. If this really is the Son of God, what am I doing with him? Look at the next verse. So Pilate was more afraid, verse 9, and he went again into the judgment hall, and he said unto Jesus, look at the question he asked Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. What did he ask him? He just heard that this guy claims to be the Son of God. That's why the Jews are putting him to death. He goes into Jesus. He said, where'd you come from? Now the Jews could have said, well, he was from Mary and he was a carpenter. He came from Nazareth, etc., etc., etc. But Pilate knew that if he's the Son of God, he didn't come from here. And Pilate runs into Jesus and says, whence art thou? Whence art thou? We've seen a lot in our society over the years, programs and reports and all kinds of stuff about aliens. They say they live among us. Some people we kind of wonder about, don't we? But you know what? If they're aliens, they're not of us, are they? They're from up there. Now, personally, I don't believe there's anything up there other than angels. But you know what? If somebody ever came to me and says, I'm an alien, and I think we have one in Memphis that claims he's an alien. Prince Mongo, I think he says he's from a different planet. I can't remember where he's from. But that I might likely believe if you ever seen Prince Mongo. But all kidding aside, if anybody ever told me they're alien, I know they're not from here. And if anybody ever said to me, I'm God, I'm the Son of God, you know what? I automatically know they're not from here. Pilate knew it. The Jews knew it. They couldn't understand it. They're upset. And you know why he said, I'm not from here? Because he wasn't from here. He didn't come at the birth of Mary. I mean, that wasn't his origin. He was in heaven long before that. In fact, he was in heaven forever. Because he is the I Am. You understand that? So Jesus has a pre-existence. The last confirmation I want to show you is over in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. I just want you to consider the Alpha and Omega statements. Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus speaking says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Look at verse 11, the first part of the verse. Again, speaking, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Revelation chapter 22. Go to the end of the book. Revelation chapter 22. You have that? Notice verse 13. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The first and the last. Those statements are a declaration of, hey, there's no beginning with me, there's no ending. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first letter of the alphabet, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. I'm the first and the last. There's no beginning, no ending. It all. I'm it. I am the I am. And that's Jesus Christ making those statements. So back in Revelation, chapter 2, and in verse 8, as he pens one of the letters to the churches, to the church at Smyrna, in verse 8 he says, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Yes, Jesus Christ is the first and the last. Listen to this one other verse, Isaiah 44, verse 6. The scripture says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. I submit unto you today that Jesus preexisted his birth. Now, those people there didn't get it that day. You're not yet 50 years old. Who do you make yourself out to be? And he says, before Abraham was, I am. You know why he could say that? Because that's who he was. He's God. And he's God manifest in the flesh. Therefore, my conclusion today, five things I want to submit unto you. First of all, Jesus is either of earthly origin or he is of heavenly origin. That's it. He either came from heaven or he didn't. You have to figure that out, don't you? Number two, our text indicates his heavenly origin. I believe that. I think I've shown you enough evidence today from the Bible. If you believe the Bible, I don't see how in the world you could walk out of here and say, oh, he didn't come from heaven. I don't see how you could say that. You'd have to deny the Scripture to believe that. He's either of earthly origin or heavenly origin, and the Bible teaches he came from heavenly origins. Therefore, number three, I submit unto you that this enables Jesus to claim the right of deity or divinity. And you say, wait a minute, I've got some objections, and I've thought about some of this. Yeah, I do some thinking once in a while. Just because something comes from heaven and is not of this world doesn't mean it's God, does it? Haven't angels come to this world? But God created the angels, but are they God? No, they are not. But his self-existence and his attributes define him as God and not just an angel. So just because somebody says, Prince Mongo, I came from planet Zork or whatever it was. Well, that doesn't make him God, does it? Even if he were an alien. Because the truth of the matter is, if angels have come to this world, but they're not God. But sometimes the expression in the Scripture is that he was an angel and it was God. Christophany or a theophany. But I also submit unto you that Jesus coming down and having that pre-existence and coming from heaven to earth gives him a right claim to divinity or deity. And I define it this way, his holiness defines him as God and not the devil. Because where did the devil come from? The devil come from here? The devil didn't come from here. The devil came from up there. But what's the difference between God and the devil? Holiness. And a lot of other things, but God's holy. So Jesus Christ, because of his existence, because of his attributes, because of his holiness, as he left heaven and came to earth, that does make him God. The fourth thing is this. His incarnation, God manifest in the flesh. That's what the word incarnation means. His incarnation allows him to be the suffering substitute and the Savior of men. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, he made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of man, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And what that means is, and you read through the Philippians 2 passage there, he emptied himself. He left all of his glory beside, laid it aside in heaven, left heaven, came to earth, took himself a human body, and in the form of a man, what did he do? He humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, because he is God manifest in the flesh, makes him the eligible to be a Savior. And he was perfect, he was holy, and he died as a sinner, though he never sinned. He was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again. That makes him a suffering substitute and the Savior of man. And by the way, he's the only one that can save man, because everyone else is from here, but he's from up there. So nobody else can be the Savior. Only Jesus can be the Savior. And so Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Does that make sense? So let me ask you this in closing then. Number five, man must face this truth and either accept it or reject it. I propose you look at the scriptures, you see that Jesus said he came from heaven. I propose he came from heaven. Here today, you have to decide. You either believe it or you don't. You either accept it or you don't. And what it boils down to is, you face a similar problem to that of the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders when Jesus posed the question about John's baptism. And you're going to have to conclude, if we say he's from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? And that's exactly the point. Jesus either came from heaven or he came from earth. One of the two. If the Bible teaches he came from heaven, and you say, yes, the Bible does teach him that he came from heaven, then I'm going to ask you, why haven't you believed him? Why aren't you saved? If Jesus came from heaven, why haven't you believed? It's a good question, isn't it? Probably because you don't really believe he came from heaven. You just heard it and kind of buy into it. I don't know what the reason is, but if you're here and you're lost, you still need the Savior. And Jesus is the only Savior. And he just didn't show up into existence at the birth of Mary. You know, when Mary gave birth to him, he existed forever. God came to earth in the form of a man so that he could die for sinners and give eternal life to all who believe. That's good news. And so, sinner, we point you to Jesus that you might be saved. We who are saved, boy, take this with you. Arm yourself with that. You have an argument against those who are infidels, those who are unbelievers, those who are atheists. You have an arm. There's some ammunition there. So arm yourself with it. But take courage. Know who God is. Know who Christ is and what he's done for you. And you believe it because you know that you've trusted that and you've been saved. May that be an encouragement to you. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you are. If you've never really understood that, never picked up on the fact that Christ is from heaven and that he's the Savior, but yet today God has spoken to your heart, convicted and drawn you, and you've been saved. You know what? You ought to rejoice in that and come. Let us know. If you need help, we'll be glad to help you. Walking an aisle won't save you. Jesus can save you. He's the only one that can. Jesus existed long before his birth here into this world because he's God. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Teach us through it. And Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for the salvation we can have in him. And Lord, we ask that you would just move in every heart. We ask you to save the lost today and encourage the saved by the work of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?